Support comes from Mosby Building Arts, with laundry room designs meant to bring calm to everyday routines. More at callmosby.com.
This is St. Louis on the Air from St. Louis Public Radio. I'm Elaine Cha. This Saturday, thousands of people will gather along two blocks of North Euclid Avenue in St. Louis's Central West End neighborhood, and they'll be there to experience a bit of something that's huge in many parts of Asia, a night market. There will be vendors with food and drink. There'll be booths with handmade goods. Along with music and performances, there will be a live art auction and even a roving magician. But above all, there will be a community vibe this annual event strives to keep at its center. The event is called the Red Lantern City Night Market, and here to share the very St. Louis backstory of this yearly Pan-Asian carnival slash bazaar slash block party, we welcome its founder, St. Louis native Heidi Hamamura. Heidi, welcome.
Hi, thank you for having me.
We also have two of its longtime co-organizers, Mike Lee, owner of Saigon Cafe in the Central West End. Welcome, Mike.
Hi, thanks for having us.
And Dori Meyer, Red Lantern's event and venue coordinator. Welcome to you too, Dori.
Yes, hi. Mm-hmm.
And thank you all for joining us today. It must be a very busy week.
Very busy.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
So Heidi, take us back to the pandemic period and how your family's history with a long-standing St. Louis nonprofit sparked the idea for the first iteration of Red Lantern.
When talking to them, I know, like, during COVID, the Japanese festival at the Garden, we missed out on that. And, that's where they get a lot of their funds from. So, you know, we kind of got together and decided to do a little night market, trying to raise some money. And we did it at an event space where I met Dori, actually, that she helped me do. And I, you know, gathered some of my friends that have Asian-owned businesses and was kind of like, hey, I'm trying to, you know, raise money for this nonprofit. I don't know how it's going to be and how it's going to go, but do you want to join? And they're like, yes, let's do it. Sounds fun, you know. And we got Kieran to sponsor us because, they're made in St. Louis. So we reached out to them. They sponsored us and we were able to, you know, raise a lot of money for them.
Mm-hmm. And Kieran so, Beer?
Mm-hmm.
Right,
yeah.
Right. How many people, Dori, came to that first year's event?
I think
it was
we
like
had
900 people. Yeah,
came
2 days.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, do you think there was an appetite for it because of what was happening with the pandemic, Heidi?
I do. I traveled a lot and I've seen like night markets like in California and everything. And I'm like, this would be amazing to do here. And we don't have that here. So to be able to get that ball rolling of trying to do an event like that, I mean, we didn't know because, you know, in St. Louis, it was about like only 250 people pre-bought tickets. So we're like, oh, okay, well, you know, we'll see how it goes. And, you know, knowing, you know, people were waiting out the door. We had to turn people away each day and tell them to come back the next day because we were at full capacity of the event space. So,
and that was in Soulard, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So the first time, Mike, that you experienced the Red Lantern night market, was it before you became formally involved?
Yeah, actually, I've known Heidi for quite some time, over 20 years now. And her father actually used to have a restaurant, you know, right down the street from us, like the next block over. But yeah, for the first time, I think it was at the first event was at the original location in Soulard. And I think the following year was
at
Forest Park.
Yeah,
at Forest Park. But I went to the first year. I wasn't able to make it the second year. I run the restaurant, so it gets kind of busy sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
So didn't make that one, but thought it was a fantastic, you know, idea to, you know, start an Asian night market because I've been overseas and that whole vibe, we weren't really getting that. And in my head, I was just thinking, wow, this is such a great idea that you know, she started this and, you know, in some capacity, you know, in the back of my head, I'm just thinking, that thing could really take off.
Mm-hmm.
And so the idea kind of materialized for me when we were going to get together to do a collab. We had some money, some funds from our improvement district to use for our anniversary. But that was like at the tail end of the pandemic. So it was still kind of strange time for everybody to get out and, you know, go out and about. So I was like, let's just wait like a little longer to when people, you know, when everything's a little back to normal. And that was about 23 when finally it's like, okay, maybe we can start doing something. And Heidi and I were going to do a collab. And then we also pitched the idea of maybe you should try bringing the night market over on, you know, Euclid Avenue on the street, like how typical, you know, Asian night markets are overseas. So that's how the idea came about.
And Dory, you have not experienced a night market in Asia, but what was it about the idea that for you, from the perspective of someone who has worked with events, felt like this is something that has legs?
Oh, yes, I've definitely worked with events, but with the night market, nothing like the vibe that that brought to that first event space. And it was clear from the excitement that everybody had and then the vibe that was in that space that the Central West End would be the perfect location for it. You have that crowded street feel that you couldn't get if you were in, you know, the original location. And people just love coming and walking through the street and, you know, experiencing everything we have to offer.
Mm-hmm. Having been involved in event planning and execution personally, I know that it can be difficult to enjoy sort of what is going on. But for you, what was it about it that was memorable or enjoyable from the perspective of somebody who would just be walking through?
Oh, it's definitely the energy of the crowd and the energy that the vendors and the entertainment bring. Everybody's together, they're crowded together, they're happy, they're enjoying themselves. You know, while I am, you know, overseeing the event and walking through and handling things, I also have the opportunity to stop and pause and say, like when the lion dancers come down the street, everybody stops and watches them. And so you just feel that vibe. It's just the feeling you get while you're standing there. Usually when you're overseeing an event, everything's going very quietly per plan, and this is more energetic.
Okay. Energetic sounds like a diplomatic way to put certain things.
I think
things.
What she's trying to say is that she likes the chaos.
Okay.
Yeah. It's a good chaos.
It absolutely is.
The control
it's so
chaos.
Fun. Yeah, you don't controlled. Know, you know, things are just happening and everybody's just having fun and, you know, we have an itinerary, but still have a great flow to the event where the people that are there make it even more so than what it is in plan.
Yeah. Heidi, for you, I mean, was there a certain point at which you thought, this needs to continue and I need more people to be part of it?
Yes, and, you know, but we also want to keep it, we like the, how it's only, we don't want it to be like 5 or 6 blocks, right? Because that's like over, it's just too much. And then that's when, you know, the vendors are, you know, not many people make money, and it just
it's just kind diluted.
Of, yeah, it's diluted,
say,
and there's
dilutes.
Too much of the same thing. So the big thing about, you know, when we get the vendors to fill out the forms, we're like, what country do you represent? What are you selling? Stuff like that. Because we want to make sure there's a little bit of everything. And joining with Mike, you know, when I first started it was very Japanese heavy culture because that's kind of all I knew and that's who I was working with. But getting with Mike, now we have, you know, the Chinese, the Vietnamese, you know, and then our other friends are like Laotian, Thai, you know, so it's a Vietnamese. So I said Vietnamese, right?
Yeah.
We have a couple.
Yeah. So it's pretty diverse now.
Yeah, it's very, very
saying.
Diverse now, yeah. You know, because before, you know, I had a couple people ask me, like, why don't you have Chinese in there? Why don't you have this? Why don't you have Korean? I'm like, I'm trying.
Yeah,
you know,
right.
I'm trying to reach out to these vendors. Some of them don't want to do it or they're too busy with their own brick and mortar that they can't stop on a Saturday to do it. So,
So Dory, I know that you are a transplant to St. Louis. You have a teen son who spent a little more of his life here in the St. Louis area.
Yeah, his entire life.
Yeah, and Mike and Heidi, for the two of you, I mean, you've known each other for, you know, 20 years, since I'll just call it childhood. your families, you know, have run restaurants in the Central West End. I mean, has the Red Lantern and the way that it's grown, does it compare to anything you saw growing up in St. Louis? I mean, you have a daughter, right, Mike?
Yeah, I have
Has
a
she
daughter.
Seen or experienced it?
The Red Lantern?
Yeah.
Yes, she's been. Yeah, they love it. And they'll be here. They'll be there that Saturday as well. Mm-hmm. My daughter and I have a son as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, definitely not. For me personally, growing up in St. Louis, I, you know, the only thing maybe remotely close would be the Japanese festival that in that scale. And they do a fantastic job over there.
Right.
And, you know, that's in a controlled environment, the botanical gardens. But, you know,
but
bringing
that's just
that
Japanese culture, right?
Right,
so
right, right,
us
exactly.
Doing this, it's like a whole variety.
Correct.
Of knowing also small businesses and, you know, that are in St. Louis also, you know.
Yeah.
Gives them exposure,
yeah, exposure
which is great. Exposure, I mean, just, you know, a lot of people don't know about those small businesses. So when they come in and, you know, participate in these events, it gives them that added exposure, which is
just
great
like
to see.
Your I noticed your earrings from My Squish, right?
Oh,
you know, I don't know where they came
oh,
from.
Didn't.
These were a gift, though.
They do
probably,
look like
they
My
look
Squish.
Exactly like
oh,
My Squish.
Oh, okay. Yeah. And that's one of the vendors,
the
right?
Yeah, it's a little
It's a mother-daughter?
Yes.
Okay, okay.
Yeah.
Well, and I think getting to this understanding that the Red Lantern, you know, the Night Festival is happening in the Central West End, but it is drawing people from all over the region, and Asians are everywhere, right? All different kinds of Asians. In terms of the way that you approach the vendors and who is there, Dori, as an organizer, what is it that people can expect, and how does it reflect sort of this regional diversity?
People can expect a wide, diverse offering of vendors at our market. We have some people that have been with us since the beginning, or maybe the second or third one. And then every year we learn about newer vendors that would like to be a part of our market. So I think it does reflect well on the diversity that St. Louis has to offer, and it brings it to the public's attention.
Mm-hmm. Can you give us a few of the numbers? So I know that there are, or there have been, more and more people coming to this annual event. And in fact, one of my colleagues heard the promo today from the booth, and he came and asked me about this festival. He's a lifelong St. Louisan. He had not heard of it.
Oh.
So, yeah, how many people have come over the years?
So the first year we had it in the Central West End, we were just one block, and we had about 23 vendors and about 6,000 people. The second year we had it in the Central West End, we expanded to two blocks. We had about 50 vendors and around 12,000 people. And we're expecting the same size or greater crowd this year, and we have around the same amount of vendors.
Mm-hmm. And there are some vendors who are going to be kind of debuting in a way, or showing up shortly after starting their businesses. I think there's like a food truck and
El Dragon. Mm-hmm. They're going to be their first one. So this is going to be their very first event. We're really excited for them. They've been working on this project for a year to get their food truck going and stuff. So we're really excited for them. I think District 8.
Yeah, District 8.
Last year it was theirs.
It was
and
his
now
first year.
Yeah, it was his first year. So, and he's at like almost every festival now. He's doing amazing. He's everywhere. So it's good to see that they're thriving and doing really well.
Yeah.
There's some non-food vendors that it's their first time too, or it's an artist that's just starting out. There's Chicken. There's a couple more just like that. Let me see here. Fourier Nimbus, they're a home goods and art type store, and they just started as well. They just opened their brick and mortar, and so they reached out to us and asked to be a part of the market.
Okay.
Yeah, there was a couple. I think they got a hold of us very last second. I don't know how we got them in last year though, but they have a booth called Handmadeify, and they hand stitched these dolls, and they're from Vancouver.
Okay.
Yeah, and they came all the way down here. They somehow got in. We were able to squeeze them in. We were excited. We were like, hey, this is like a perfect fit for us.
Oh, that's great.
And they said it's like their best
ever that they ever
had. And this
had.
Is what they do.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
They had the bouquets.
Yes.
They had pop-up cards.
And you saw so many people walking around with those. You know, everyone's like, where'd you get that? And they're like, over there.
And that's what's great about the street atmosphere is you could be walking around with something and somebody else sees it and they ask, where did that come from? And so then they can guide that person to that tent so they can get that.
Thank you for talking with us about this event that is coming up on Saturday. Heidi Hamamura is the founder of Red Lantern City Night Market and the chef owner of Taberu STL. Mike Lee is owner of Saigon Cafe, and Dory Meyer, also a co-organizer of this festival. You're all part of the team that puts this together. Dory, Mike, and Heidi, thank you for joining us today, and good luck on Saturday.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
This episode was produced by Elaine Shaw.
Our audio engineer is Aaron Dorr. This podcast was mixed and edited by Aaron.
Our executive producer is Alex Hoyer.
St. Louis on the Air is a production of St. Louis Public Radio. Understanding starts here.
Do you find yourself regularly listening to episodes of St. Louis on the Air? Suggest us to a friend you think might enjoy our conversations. And leave us a review and rating on Apple Podcasts on the App Store. It's the simplest way to help people discover our show. Thanks.
St. Louis Public Radio is a member-supported service of the University of Missouri-St. Louis.